This Get Made. Hey everybody, it's a How Did This Get Made mini episode. Happy 2014. Welcome back to the real world. I know a lot of you have been on break, not having to commute to work, not having to ride that disgusting subway, not having to see your stupid boss's face. But guess what? It's all changed. Forget the past when you were freebasing cocaine, watching Carson Daly on New Year's. No. That is in 2013. Now you have resolutions. Things have changed. You are trying to be a better person. And what better way to be a better person than to watch a great movie? I'm talking about a movie with a magical harmonica, a talking snowman, and a dead father. That's right. And it's all in a children's movie. A children's movie. The 1998 movie, Jack Frost with Michael Keaton. Take a listen.
Once upon a time, in the town of Medford, there lived a man named Jack Frost.
Happy holidays! You guys are great!
Are all musicians really flaky?
Yeah.
He had a beautiful wife and a loving son, but his job kept him away from home.
I brought you this.
Your harmonicas?
I got that the morning you were born. When you play that, no matter where I am, I can hear it.
Then one night, something happened. Something terrible.
It's okay. I miss him too.
That turned into something wonderful.
I'm home. Charlie, it's me, it's Dad.
What?
So I'm supposed to believe that you're my dad?
You were the one who played on the magic harmonica.
I thought you made that up.
So did I.
Let's hear those celebrity dance moves.
Get him! Ow!
Nah, I don't think so.
Dad's the snowman,
honey. Charlie's run away with the snowman. Really?
What's the snowman look like?
Three bowls, two stick arms.
Hey, that's my branch!
Stocky, well built.
Shredding! Oh! Hey, I slimmed down. Whoa!
Thanks for giving me a second chance to be your dad.
Warner Brothers is proud to present Michael Keaton.
I'm a frozen freak of nature.
And Kelly Preston.
Freeze, mister.
She's obviously not talking to me.
In the story of a man who got a second chance to be the world's coolest dad.
As long as you hold someone in your heart, you can never lose them.
Jack Frost.
This movie is bonkers. Literally bonkers to the max. That's what I'm going to say about it. It is very, very dark. It is very, very weird. But we finally get what we all wanted to see, which is Michael Keaton performing in a blues band and a talking snowman that doesn't appear until about an hour into the movie. It's very weird. I never saw this movie. I ran far, far away from it. Now that I've seen it, I want to watch it again and again. Your question is, Paul, where can I get it? It's streaming on Amazon Prime, but you can rent it digitally anywhere. You can do it on your iTunes. You can do it on your Amazon Prime. You can do it on your Redbox Instant. Who does that? You can do it. Holy moly. I can't wait for you to see this movie because it's so bonkers. I don't even want to share with you some of the specifics. We did this as a live episode with a very special guest. I think you're going to really dig our special guest who has a couple of rants. Ooh, is that a clue? It might be a clue. All right, let's get into corrections and omissions. Hit the theme song. You come to corrections and omission, you come to play.
Play. Play.
You come to play.
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 You come to play.
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 You come to play.
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 You come to play.
You gotta prove it, motherfucker. Bam! This is a part of the show where you tell us if we missed something in a previous episode or if we neglected to really dive into a point that you feel is necessary for us to illuminate. The last movie that we did was the Danny DeVito, Matthew Broderick film Deck the Halls. And here's what you had to say. You posted these on the earwolf.com message board under the show title. That's how it works. You can figure it out. Here we go. Starting off strong with Brandon Hayes. He writes, when DeVito's house is finally seen from space at the end of the movie, he did nothing to make it brighter than it originally was during his big live DJ show. So are we supposed to believe that the Christmas spirit made the house visible? The lights weren't enough. We needed all the Whos and Whosevilles to come together to make magic happen. Brandon, that is an amazing point. You're right. There was nothing different with the lights. As a matter of fact, it seems like, I guess, oh, wait a second. Brandon, you might be wrong. Didn't everybody from the neighborhood bring their lights? Brandon, guess what? You're the first correction and omission to get booted. You just got booted out. Your correction and omission is wrong. Insect Nation writes, in the sleeping bag scene where Broderick's character's reaction is strangely homophobic, he's screaming at the thought of contact, non-sexual, with another man. That's the punchline. Compounded by his inability to even stay in the same room as a crossdresser, this leaves a real bad taste in my mouth. You know what, Insect Nation? I agree with you. This movie is the Duck Dynasty of its day. Or if you're more current, we can say the Evander Holyfield. Look it up. Big Brother London. He said some crazy stuff. Okay. Plan B writes, I think the movie that Paul was referring to on being on DVD so quickly was Surviving Christmas, the Ben Affleck, James Gandolfini, RIP, movie. You are right. You are totally right. Surviving Christmas was the one that was released like in Halloween and then back. Like, yeah, that was the one. My mistake. This actually was released at the right time. Death to Mikey Bay goes, I think there can be three new tropes added to a bad movie. Number one, crazy foreign couple as minor characters. Great point. Hip remixes of classic songs, usually the whitest interpretation of hip-hop, and a pair of twins as minor characters. He writes, Social Network is really the only exception where it doesn't prove the rule. I agree. Those are actually very, very, very good points. Now, here are some really great points about Danny DeVito and his terrible way of framing Matthew Broderick. Okay. Here we go. There's a few of them, and I'll bring this one up. This is also from Death to Mikey Bay. So if Danny DeVito's plan was to frame Broderick for stealing the tree, he never called the police. What was the point? Dumping stolen public property in his living room as a gift? How is he going to get revenge if no one ever found out? And did Broderick and his family not notice that the Marilyn Monroe statue was on top of the tree that was the same one that was in the town square? And how the hell did DeVito cut down a brightly lit tree in a wide open town square with a gas chainsaw without anyone hearing or noticing? Yeah, amazing points. How could he even carry that tree back by himself? It's impossible. And then John Landrum writes, he actually was a car dealer, so this has some veracity. He goes, there was simply not enough said about Danny DeVito buying a car from the dealership he works at in Matthew Broderick's name. This is beyond insane, even for this movie. I worked as a car salesman for a short time, and I can absolutely confirm that what DeVito did is not even remotely possible. For starters, and this should go without saying, you actually have to pay for the vehicle in order to complete the sale. Some form of payment, be it cash or approved financing, must be given in exchange for the vehicle. Also, valid ID and insurance information must be presented at the time of sale. But okay, let's go along with the movie for a second and assume that somehow DeVito was able to steal Matty B's license and work out some sort of drive now, pay later arrangement. Even if that was possible, you'd still have to sign a ton of paperwork with the business/finance guy at the dealership, who, by the way, probably knows who the fuck Danny DeVito is because they work at the same fucking place. What a stupid movie. John Landrum, you get correction and omission of the week. You are the winner of the CNOs. That was amazing. Very good point. Makes no sense. Not even trying to make sense. Those are the two weakest points in the entire movie. All right, here we go. Moving on to our next segment. Like that seamless transition. Here we go. It's time for some Q&As. You ask me Q's, I give you A's. And you guys just brought it, hitting it out of the park from moment one. 2014 is your year, people. Here we go. What I want to say also, I'm going to try in 2014 not to horribly butcher your names, but I can't promise anything. This one goes to Aaron Q. Michael or Q. Michelle. When will we see t-shirts of June's graph of knowledge? Okay, if you have not known what he's talking about, if you have not known, what kind of language is that? If you don't know what he's talking about, there is a graph that someone created. It is on our Facebook page, and it is a graph of all the things that June knows about and the varying levels in which she knows about those things. I want a graph of this made. I would love a t-shirt of it, but we don't have that t-shirt coming out. We have a brand new t-shirt coming out. It's going to hit the stores very soon. It's our Daredevil inspired t-shirt. I love this t-shirt. A fan made it. We thank you, fan. We also have stickers on the way, a special Stallone sticker, which I think is amazing. And right now there are pint glasses in the store. That's right. How did this get made? Pint glasses. So fill it up with all the absinthe you want. Sit back, relax, and watch Jack Frost. It will make a better viewing experience for you. Moving on to Craig Polizzi. Who would win in a fight? Nick Kroll, after learning Gymkata, versus Jason Mantzoukas in the superhero suit from Jingle All the Way? All right. It's a battle to the death. We know that. Nick Kroll would have to have gym equipment around to even be a contender in this fight. Now, I'll also say that the superhero suit from Jingle All the Way doesn't seem to have that much weaponry. So I feel like it would just devolve into a weird slap fight with two people just ramming each other. So it would be a stamina fight. And based on everything I know about Jason Mantzoukas, he has more stamina than Nick Kroll. Case closed. Jessica Gellis Arif. Man, guys, you are really hitting me with these tough names. My resolution is almost done. Why is my husband making me watch Alex Cross? Jessica, stop. Leave your husband. He is trying to torture you. I wouldn't even give this to people in Guantanamo who are evil. That movie, we were going to do it for the show, and we pulled back because it's so boring. It's not even fun boring. Stop whatever you can do. Get out of that house. Have children with somebody else. Your husband is out to hurt you. Matthias Strohand says, what does it feel like to kill someone? Well, thank you for this question. I always say it's like watching the best episode of Third Rock from the Sun. At first, you kind of are into it, then you aren't, and then you kind of like, I feel bad for liking it so much because it was really good. This one from Joey Damas. He goes, how come I never got taken fishing as a kid? It's simple, Joey. Your father had an alternate life where he had another son, a son that he loved more than you, and he did all those cool things with that son because he wasn't around 24/7 like he was with you. So you got the authoritarian, the other son got the fun dad. He's never told you because he can't bear to look in your eyes and tell him he doesn't love you as much as his illegitimate son in a different family. I'm so sorry to break this news to you. Michael Scally writes, what should be my New Year's resolution? Well, how about make your own jerky? I think that's a good thing. Everyone should make jerky in 2014. Make us some turkey jerky. Make some pheasant jerky. Make some vegan jerky. Just make jerky. We're going to need it. The zombies are coming, people. Lauren Brooks writes, what did you bring for the potluck? Oh, Lauren. Lauren, you are going to love it. I brought this really fun dish. It's kind of like these little mini pies, and inside the mini pies are little mini Sour Patch Kids. And I call it a giant pie because when you eat inside, the filling is humans. It's really fun, a giant pie. But they're mini because they're for giants. Okay, that doesn't make any sense, but it does. Matt Sifford writes, why does that guy laugh in the song Wipeout? Because he loves seeing other people in pain. I mean, he's just on that beach. He's who we all are trying to avoid, isn't he? The guy who's laughing at us for trying something. Sure, at least we're out on the water. At least we're trying to surf. We're not on the dock just laughing. That's what we have to make 2014 about. Not caring about that laugher of Wipeout. Who cares? At least we're living our life, you fucking laugher. And finally, Nicole Chontfalsky writes, where did my other flip-flop go? There's literally nothing but a shoe rack in that area. Where could it even hide? This is amazing, actually. your flip-flop went on a Pixar-like journey back to the factory because his friend, another shoe on that shoe rack, is losing its threading or some sort of sole. Let's say sole. And he has to go get a new sole. So they're having a wonderful adventure right now across the country to get back to that Tom shop or whatever, Doc Martin, whatever. And they're going to get that sole and give it back to that shoe so that shoe lives a long life. This is a very uplifting story. Michael Arndt has been crafting it for quite some time. It's called Walking in My Own Shoes. Or Take a Walk in My Shoes. And I'm just so excited for you to hear all about this this flip-flops adventure. All right, guys, that brings me to the end of our mini episode. You guys are amazing, as always. If you want to post your corrections and omissions, do that on the Earwolf board and just title them Corrections and Omissions. Keep on posting your images and questions and everything on our Facebook page. Follow us on Twitter at HDTGM. See June and Anchorman 2. See me on At Midnight. Oh, I guess it will be done by the time you hear this. And have a lovely 2014. Enjoy Jack Frost, all of you. And big thanks to everyone who helps with this. Everybody at Earwolf, of course. Leanna Waldron, who does all of our amazing artwork. You've been seeing Nate Kiley does some of our research. And just Katie Dyer, who does our social media outreach, and finally Avril Haley, who pulls all of our clips. These people, we couldn't do the show without them, and we couldn't do it without you. Thanks for listening. If you like the show, rate and review us on iTunes. Peace. I'm out.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio Boom.com. The wolf dead.